T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Tuesday, May 19th. We've got a great show for you today. We have an Academy Award winner on our show today. She's Hollywood royalty. She's actually in a show called Hollywood right now. We're talking about Mira Sorvino. We had a fantastic conversation with her. We cannot wait to share that with you. I do wish, however, y'all could see us right now because Michaela's high bun is cuter than ever and higher than ever. How you doing, Michaela?
I'm so good. And I just love and appreciate how much you support me because I literally got on here and I said, this is some morning look that I am serving you.
We've
gone just from glam to, I don't know, I have Lisa's grandma's sweater on. Like, this is where I'm at.
You look
it's
adorable.
It's a 90-year-old lady sweater. So
you look adorable. I wish our listeners could see you on your little Zoom box on my computer right now as we you know, do our show from home. But I think you look fantastic. I love a good high bun. I wish I could do it. I can't. I'm not a man bun kind of guy, really.
No, but you are a hairdresser. You do fades.
I fade my boyfriend's hair, and I also know how to fade mine. Speaking of fading, somebody who's sort of fading off, this story is not actually fading off. She could be fading off soon if it doesn't go anywhere. Ellen, all this hot water she's been in. Oh my God. More and more stories just keep coming out about people who have worked with her, been on the show, and just have not had a good experience with her. And she's apparently at the end of her rope right now. So we're going to be talking about that in the next hour. Are you an Ellen fan?
Well, here's the thing. Now I've heard these rumors as I think that you have for like years.
Yeah.
Like, this is not new to me at all. I've known people to work with her, celebrities, and they've just said, the most unfortunate person that I met, who I looked at as like a role model, was Ellen. She was so disappointing. So I feel like, I think there's a little bit of truth to it, maybe, but also yeah. I haven't heard her side, you know, we don't know.
We're going to dig in the next hour and talk about whether one of our, you know, what one of our LGBTQ icons is who people think she is. You know, I've only had a couple encounters in my life with celebrities that were really big letdowns. You know, my big one is Steve Martin. Can't stand him.
Yes.
I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I've let it go. Okay, I completely let it go. We have a great show ahead, though. So stick around, hang out with us all morning, afternoon, long. But Michaela Gordon, I know you do have some news for us and news on the beat. Why don't you take it away?
Okay, so there's some good news in the quest for a coronavirus vaccine. The biotech company Moderna says volunteers who got its COVID-19 vaccine had positive early results. Now, trial participants developed neutralizing antibodies to the virus that sometimes surpassed levels seen in people who've naturally recovered from COVID-19. The neutralizing antibodies bind to the virus, disabling it from attacking human cells. But it's still not clear whether natural infection confers immunity to reinfection. And so it's also not clear whether vaccination confers immunity. Now, the trial was very small and the results haven't been peer reviewed. But Moderna's chief medical officer says if future studies go well, the vaccine could be available to the public as early as January. I wish that sounded
better. Yeah.
Better. They're like, good news. 2025, we got a vaccine.
Also,
like, that's how far January feels.
Also, who are these people that are volunteering to get tested? I don't know that I'm going to let somebody shoot a vaccine in me. I couldn't be one of the first.
It's one of the people that are following President Trump, because President Trump, in other news, claimed he's taking daily doses of hydroxychloroquine, the controversial drug he and his inner circle have touted as a possible treatment for COVID-19. So while speaking at a meeting of restaurant executives, Trump said he started taking the drug after consulting with White House physician Dr. Sean Conley, though notably he did not say Conley recommended the drug. He consulted with Dr. Sean Conley. Sean Conley did not say to take it, and so he started taking it.
Sounds about right. He's not taking the drug.
No.
He's invested in it somewhere. Come on, whatever.
Totally. All right, well, in better news, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday. You're in good company. YouTube star and dancer JoJo Siwa turns 17. The soulful Sam Smith turns 28. My favorite, one of my faves, Kim Zolciak Bierman from Real Housewives turns 42. And Grace Jones celebrates her 72nd birthday. Now, please give us a vibe of the day.
Someday when you're at peace, you'll be so glad you didn't give up.
I love that.
Don't give up.
That's a good one. That's good. All right. Well, coming up, President Obama left these graduates with some pretty wise words, and we have that for you coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll remind you, our show gets turned into a podcast every day after we go off the air. So if you ever miss anything at all, or if you want to hang out with us 7 days a week, download the radio.com app. Take The Morning Beat with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. Please and thank you. While you got that phone out, maybe you could learn how to TikTok, which is what Michaela plans on doing today at her grandmother's funeral. You heard that right. We're checking in. This is the state of Michaela's brain right now. We were just discussing a moment ago that she wants to learn how to TikTok.
It's all I want to do.
Her grandmother, her dear grandmother, is also being buried today. Not to make light of this, but as many people often do when we go through times of crisis, I know my family dealt with the loss of our grandmother with a lot of humor that was really irreverent, made a lot of people uncomfortable. But that's kind of where you're at, Michaela. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, you know, even when I went to, you know, it's very hard for me to be serious about something that's so devastating. I feel like the more painful it is, the more humor I would rather bring.
Right.
And even when she, at her viewing on Sunday, I don't know what was going on in my head, but I went up there like 5 times and was like having full conversations with her. And I was like, Michaela, go sit down. Like, enough. Go sit. You know, stop it. And at the very end, I leaned a little too hard and I almost wheeled her out of Palm Mortuary. Like, it was just aggressive. And then I was like, Grandma, I'm sorry. But I think it's the only way that I'm able to sort of cope with it. I've never really experienced a loss like this. So today's her funeral. I've never been to a funeral where they lower the body into the ground, like a real proper funeral. So, you know, I think I'm just doing okay
I don't know how you're doing it, to be honest. I don't know how you're still doing a radio show every single day. And especially this has been a drawn out process for any of you listeners who are just tuning in today. Your grandmother passed 3 weeks ago, and due to COVID-19, you haven't been able to lay her to rest properly just yet, which I think so many people globally are dealing with right now. It is an awful time to lose somebody. It's always an awful time, but to lose it and lose somebody so close in this manner at this time, I just applaud you for even showing up and doing this thing. Every morning I sign on here, I'm like, today could be the day. She's just not going to sign on to Zoom today. She's done. She's out.
Well, you know, I have to think, like, I take this as my job, but I also do take this like a place where I can be honest. And I've been honest, you know, from the very beginning. And if my truth like helps some of our listeners, because it's real and it's all real right now. You know, not only am I dealing with the death of my grandma, I'm dealing with my dysfunctional family. Like you know, like how you all start gathering, and even like your cousins, like, forgot that I had a couple Trump supporters in my family. So that's come up during dinner. And, you know, you're just like dealing with all the things. And then you just look at it and you're like, okay, I just put one foot in front of the other and just chill out. And, you know, it's just a crazy time.
Well, if I can put your mind at ease at all, funerals are awkward for everybody. It's a strange tradition that I'm not sure why we really have. I know it's nice to say goodbye. Some people see it as a form of closure. In my family, they're just awkward. they're just weird. My cousins and I remember my cousin Mary and I cracking up one time at our other cousin Betsy, her grandmother's funeral on her mother's side. And we were there and we had to step out and they took us into a room where like all the kids kind of hung out and we started laughing so hard. Like we couldn't stop laughing because we were uncomfortable.
I think that's what it is. I think that's how my family is as well. I mean, we are Italian. We aren't really supposed to show our emotions. We're always supposed to just be strong. And so then trying to be funny. But, you know, I said this yesterday and I encourage other people to do this maybe for themselves, but I noticed that for the first time, I really just want to feel this. Like I want to feel my grandma. I want to feel all of the feelings. I'm not one to want to normally do that. I'd rather find a distraction, but I started taking therapy and I really want to try differently in my life. And so I cut alcohol out of my life right now so that I could really solely focus on like where I'm at and how to like level it. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to feel or what's going on, but like, I encourage so many people or I applaud so many people that have done this.
Well, I think it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to feel weird. It's going to feel really hard, but in the long run, our vibe of the day, did you hear it? Our vibe of the day is talking about just that. Like do the work now. You'll be grateful for it later. Also heads up. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've never seen them lower anybody into the ground. They usually do that after you leave. So you can let go of that anxiety. You're probably not going to see that today, just so you know. But if you do, I'm sure they'll take wonderful care of your grandmother. They won't wheel her off like you almost did at her viewing accidentally. And, well, and also, look, I'm sending you so much love.
I love you so much. Also, my idea of a funeral is everyone I've seen in a movie. I'm like, they're lowering her down. I will jump in. They will have to come get me. It's a whole thing. So Archie is coming up in our next hour. We have a great story for you. Also, we've got Mira Sorvino. You know her from Romy and Michelle, but she's joining us to talk about Netflix's Hollywood later in the show. So stick around with the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, when it comes to LGBTQ icons, I can't think of many names bigger than Ellen DeGeneres.
No.
She has been a trailblazer for so many, paving the way for so many of us to do what we do openly and honestly. You know, I remember watching her coming out episode on her show back in the 1990s. She came out to Laura Dern in the airport really quickly, said it over the speaker. Said, "I'm gay." And I remember just feeling the shockwaves of that as a young man, a young boy in a small town in Ohio. And nobody can ever take that away from her. She's been in this game for a long time. She has a very successful talk show. She's beloved by many, but we've been hearing stories over the years and they've been ramped up during quarantine of people saying she hasn't been that kind to them, that she's cold. You know, Nikki Tutorials went on did a whole vlog about this, how she was on her show. She said she wasn't very warm or welcoming to her. Also, we've heard that during quarantine, some of her staffers have been let go or furloughed, and then they brought on non-union staff to work in their place, paying them much less. And then also, they just don't know when they're ever going to get paid for the work they have done before quarantine. So this keeps adding up. I know you and I have also, we both know people who've worked on the Ellen DeGeneres show, the Ellen Show, and have not had the most wonderful work experience. I know personally a good friend of mine, used to work there and said that she was just miserable to work for, that you couldn't approach her. You're not allowed to talk to her, that she didn't want to be looked at in the eyes. Now, these all sound like ridiculous claims. We've heard a million times about different celebrities, but we personally know people who've said the same thing, which breaks my heart.
This it's different, I think, because, you know, listen, I love and know a lot of comedians. And I think that sometimes comedians biggest struggle is that they don't feel like being on all the time. They don't want to be the funny one. They don't want to tell the jokes. They want to be relatable. And so in a lot of ways, I could see how maybe people would take it that she was being cold. Also, to be honest, before I ever try to hit a show, whether I'm hosting or singing, I need to take like 10 minutes by myself, majority of the time, to just get my thoughts together before I go out to really be on. However, I have heard so many stories, like you said, from personal friends. And also, she has an entire brand of being kind and giving back on camera, but behind the scenes, the stories don't match up. I mean, some of the allegations were also that she let go of her staff during COVID-19. Yeah. How do you give people around the world money and help and treat it as a charitable situation and opportunity, and then your own staff you let go allegedly? Make sense.
Just this month, one of her former bodyguards even broke his silence on working with her and referred to her as demeaning and very cold. I mean, those are pretty harsh words. Yeah. I understand. Listen, you and I know this industry, it's wild. And you need to do a certain amount of self-preservation once you hit a certain level of fame to insulate yourself from those around you, good and bad. And especially as a comedian who has to go out there 5 days a week, nail that opening monologue, be turned on the entire show. It's a lot. And people don't understand what actually goes into, you know, entertaining people like that on a daily basis. So I do cut her a little bit of slack for that. However,
but demeaning, you cannot be. Like, yeah, taking your time and moment, yes. Being rude and bitchy, no way.
There are plenty of comedians who are hilarious and seem like just awful in other ways, which is, I'm fine with. It's more their brand. I think of the Sarah Silvermans, the Janine Garofalos, the Margaret Chos of the world, Wanda Sykes, even to some degree. She's got a little more sass to her. I don't know that doing the be kind, treat each other with kind thing is really working for Ellen.
It feels forced.
Yeah. If you want to be a little bit rough around the edges, be rough around the edges. Bob Saget was America's father for years on Full House. And if you've ever listened to his comedy, he's the dirtiest mouth ever. So I'm okay. But what I think my bigger issue is something doesn't match up. It doesn't feel authentic. If she wanted to go on her show and, you know, be a little bit cold, be a little bit aloof, maybe be a little bit demeaning in a joking sort of playful manner, that's one thing. Then these stories wouldn't feel so shocking. Mm-hmm. They feel so shocking because she pushes this narrative of being kind to one another. So when you hear she's not being kind, then it's jarring.
Well, the thing is, I think that until it really starts affecting her ratings, it's really just going to continue being people saying things and coming out. I mean, it's happened for a long time. I don't think Portia would ever go against her if she was experiencing anything. And I think that the rumors will continue. And unfortunately, even if they're true, they won't make a difference because people love Ellen. They've had her in their homes for many, many years. And I think even if they heard something bad about her, it was like Bill Cosby. Like, that was their guy. And so even when bad allegations came out, they were like, nope, doesn't matter. Don't care. I'm still on his side.
Michaela, did you just bring up Bill Cosby? Did you just do that? Did you just reference Bill Cosby in the story?
Yes,
that's a joke.
You know what I'm saying? No,
yeah,
because I'm saying as bad as the allegations.
No, I get it.
People still stay loyal to their TV family.
I get what you're saying. These allegations are very different. I just think there's also a cost benefit analysis. The amount of help she's done she's helped people around the world, especially in our community. I think that's why people give her a pass. But we'll see. We'll follow the story.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, this dad did something super fun for his daughters, but the mother of the daughters is not very happy. Could it be a germ pit? We'll talk about it coming up next.
All right, Michaela Gordon, imagine this. Let's just paint this picture for just a moment. You're a little kid. You walk through your front door, and your entire house has been turned into a Chuck E. Cheese-style ball pit. Remember those things you used to jump in as kids? You and I did this not before the shutdown happened. We were at the Britney Spears Zone here in Los Angeles, and they had a huge ball pit. We jumped in it. We had a blast. It seems like a ridiculous idea now because of all the germs and coronavirus. But
it was so fun.
So fun. We lived our best lives. But imagine walking into your house, and your entire house is turned into a ball pit. Well, that was the reality for Casey, Grace, Sophie, and Chloe, aged 14 all the way down to age 2. When they came home, and their father, Joel, had bought 250,000 plastic balls, ball pit balls, and filled their whole house. So they opened the door, the entire hallway, and then all the way in the living room and into the kitchen, full of balls. So many, they went up to the counter in the kitchen, and they were diving off of the kitchen counter into these things. What a dream come true. Here's the kicker, though, honey. Here's the kicker. His wife, Sarah, had no idea he was doing this.
You know what, though? This is amazing. And I will say there's a few things that you could like critique, but one of the youngest daughters has asthma. So they've really been stuck in the house, of course, playing it safe. And I think that during a time like this, practical jokes are just so much more fun than ever. And I think that 250,000 balls in your house just to show your four girls a good time, I think that's so incredible.
I have to be honest.
I love
though.
Him.
I do love him. I have to be honest. It's not just to show the girls a good time, though. He does have a YouTube channel. It's called Dad versus Girls, which he documents things like
that's
this.
That's cute.
So basically, he does these sorts of videos to kind of pranks his family. His wife's usually not in on it. Some of the videos he says that we want to do, he almost thinks to himself, what would have been my childhood fantasy? That's how he gets the ideas for these. So I'm curious to know, what would your childhood fantasy have been? If you could have walked through your front door or walked into a situation with your family, is there anything that stands out or maybe something that did happen that made me feel extra special as a kid? I know when I was younger, my grandmother, do you ever watch the show, the Bozo Show? Are you familiar?
No.
Okay. So it was really popular in the Midwest, and Bozo the Clown and his sidekick Cookie, they did like I think it was maybe a half hour, an hour show every morning. It would come on after my morning cartoons. And he would pull kids out of the audience. You could play games and win prizes. And then at the very end, they had a game where you would have to stand, and there'd be like four or five buckets in a row, each further away from you. And you'd have to toss a ping pong into the bucket. If you got it into bucket number one, you won a prize. If you got it into two, you won a bigger prize. And if you made it all the way to the last bucket, you were the grand prize winner. It was a whole thing. You got to march the kids out of the studio at the end of it to a song and dance, holding the baton and arms up and down, cheering along with Bozo and Cookie the Clown. I wanted to be on the show so bad. It filmed in Chicago. That was about 4 hours, 5 hours away from where I grew up. So one day I go to my grandmother's house, and on her back patio, she had taken like a 2x4 and Easter baskets and nailed them to the 2x4. Got a ping pong ball.
Oh, that's so cute.
A little microphone, like you use the wireless one where you go sing to people. She had one like that, like a play school one or something we had as kids. And she announced me as Joe Schmo from Kokomo. And that was my name for the game. And I got to play, and I was the grand prize winner. And she had prizes for every single thing that I did.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
I got to actually have an experience. But is there something that you thought like maybe would have been amazing as like young Michaela or 32-year-old Michaela? Because I don't see a lot of difference, if I'm going to be honest.
There's not. So I always wanted to be on Barney. Like, I used to pretend I was on Barney. I would go play on my swing set and be like, I'm on camera. Literally nothing has changed. But I really wanted a water slide. We had like a water park here in Vegas that we used to go to, but I really wanted a water slide. So my uncle, I have all boy cousins. So he went and he got this grand slide and he tied the hose to it. So the hose was spraying from the top of the slide.
So you can slide properly. Yeah.
So that you could properly slide. We got a little floaty and it flew into a little bigger than a kiddie pool. So there was like some room, but we thought we were rich. And now looking back, it was probably like $50, but we were like, we are the water park. And it was amazing.
You were totally a hillbilly and I love it. My childhood was exactly the same. Joel goes on to say, though, he has no regrets about this over the top joke. He says that we're never going to get this chance again as families to all be together at home. That's so true. He said, let's just make the absolute most of it. Let's try and get back to real family life. I think the interesting thing about coronavirus, and I was talking to my cousin Lindy about this last weekend, she's actually sort of enjoyed it. She's enjoyed not really the homeschooling of her children, but spending that much time with them.
Yeah.
Because she also realizes once this is over, it's probably not going to happen again in our lifetime. So I love that Joel's making the most of this for his kids.
I love it too. I will say one thing, because of COVID, my family and I can't go to restaurants. We just go to my uncle's every time. And on Sunday, we got into a water fight that turned into a hose, speaking of, and everybody was soaking wet afterwards. And it was so nice because everyone just has to go back to the basics, even at 32. So I love it. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, what's poppin'? A story that's close to my heart in regards to American Idol and Ryan Seacrest. Is his health doing okay? He's speaking on it coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Tuesday. I want to remind you that you can download the radio.com app, take The Morning Beat with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. Tell your friends, tell your family, listen to our interviews and our conversations two or three times. Please and thank you. We appreciate it. Now, Michaela Gordon, I hear this What's Poppin' hits a little close to home for you.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so Sunday night, it was the American Idol finale. And in the first time in history, it was a virtual American Idol finale. They had to, they've been working really, really hard. I can't imagine the stress it must have brought having to do it in your own backyard, a national television show. But apparently the stress hit a little bit harder for host Ryan Seacrest. He had a few slip ups. Let's take a listen to the audio.
Cynthia Erivo and the top 11 right there. Catch her playing Aretha Franklin on the National Geographic series Genius Aretha premiering this fall. Now, coming to you live, and we have the final two results. Who will be your next American Idol?
Okay, so if you can hear, people hit to Twitter and asked if he was having a stroke. They felt concerned. His eye, one of his eyes got really bulgy as he was talking. So then questions rose again when yesterday morning he did not show up for Live with Kelly and Ryan. Kelly's husband stepped in. So it caused one of his reps to come out and he said, listen, he didn't have a stroke. He's been working very, very hard for the past 3 to 4 weeks. You guys know he has a lot of jobs and he has decided just to take the day off, a very well-deserved day off. So they're saying it wasn't a stroke. It could have just been exhaustion.
Yeah, I didn't watch the finale because I'm not a fan of these like Zoom sort of shows, like especially The Voice. American Idol, it just seems so odd to me. It's also so anticlimactic that these people win. Sam ends up winning, and then what? You turn off your Zoom, and then you're by yourself. I think it's really sad, but I did watch the clip of Ryan Seacrest, though, and he looked visibly, something was shaking him. His one eye was bulging. The other eye was completely closed. He kind of like slumped over for a bit. It looked like it was something more than just exhaustion and not being able to.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, he's had this issue before. So a few years ago, he went into the audience and he grabbed this guy, had him stand up and introduced him as Michael Sarver from season 8. Now, Michael Sarver is a friend of mine and it clearly was not Michael Sarver. And everyone was like, whoa, is he okay? Like, that was so random. They come out and said he was just tired. They're saying the same thing about this.
He slow danced with him for a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And everyone was like, what is going on? You know, listen, I think that I hope the one thing that we learn in quarantine, something I'm personally learning that you talk to me a lot about, is overworking. Mm-hmm. And I think that we as a society feel like we have to work, and we have to be this one man show and make it all happen. And then America and people are like, oh my God, he does everything. And it's catching up to him. He's 45 now.
Yeah. Also,
he needs to be taking better care.
Real talk. He's been an idol of mine for so long. Literally, he's my American Idol. He's part of the reason that I got into hosting and wanted to go into television. I didn't think he'd be hanging around quite this long. I thought maybe there'd be more jobs available, but he's worked, you know, he's got 4 jobs every day right now. And real talk, if he needs to take a little time back, like, I'm willing to step in. Like, I got some free time, America. Yeah. I'm free. Like, Kelly and Ryan. Kelly and AJ has a good ring to it, although Michaela and AJ has a better ring to it. Never mind. I take that back.
I totally take it back.
Listen, I apologize.
Listen, you're the king of radio now. And you are an author, which is one thing he's not. So think about that.
He's probably co-authored something somewhere, right?
He's done nothing. Okay, what has he done enough in his career?
There you go.
All right, you guys, well, coming up, as the world is trying to reopen, some huge corporations are asking to not take responsibility if you suffer from COVID-19. We're going to talk about that and how that could affect you coming up in the next hour. Stick around for the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We have a great hour coming up for you. In 20 minutes from right now, we're discussing Disney's new guidelines for reopening. They're also letting us know that they are taking zero accountability if you do decide to come to their park in Orlando, to any of their parks, and you contract COVID-19. We're going to discuss that in 20 minutes, everything you need to know and what we think about that. Should companies be held accountable if people acquire COVID while they're in their resorts or staying at their lodging? Also, we've got Dr. Halligan. She's calling in about 40 minutes from now. She's our celebrity veterinarian. She's talking about everything you need to know as states start to reopen. We're coming into Memorial Day weekend. We've got summertime barbecues going to be happening across the country. How to keep your pets safe during barbecues, during pool season. There's so much you need to know. So we've got Doc Halligan joining us in 40 minutes from now. And the next hour, of course, we have Academy Award winner Mira Sorvino from Ryan Murphy's show Hollywood on Netflix. If you haven't watched this this series yet, you need to watch it. It's so good. And we've got Mira Sorvino here on the show with us today. Michaela Gordon, before we get to all that, how about some news on the beat?
You got it, babe. So there's some good news in the quest for a coronavirus vaccine. Now, the biotech company Moderna says volunteers who got its COVID-19 vaccine had positive early results. Trial participants developed neutralizing antibodies to the virus that sometimes surpass levels seen in people who've naturally recovered from COVID-19. Neutralizing antibodies bind to the virus, disabling it from attacking human cells, but it's still not clear whether natural infection confers immunity to reinfection, and so it's also not clear whether vaccination confers immunity. The trial was very small, and the results haven't been peer-reviewed, but Moderna's chief medical officer says if future studies go well, the vaccine could be available to the public as early as January.
Well, just now, right around the corner, January.
Oh, yeah, just 7,000 months away. Now, in other news, I feel like it will go fast, though. We're already in May. We're almost in June. I mean, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I think yesterday I was like, is it May 4th? And Lisa was like, it's May 18th, so we'll figure it out. In other news, President Trump claimed he's taking daily doses of hydroxychloroquine, the controversial drug he and his inner circle have touted as a possible treatment for COVID-19. While speaking at a meeting of restaurant executives, Trump said he started taking the drug after consulting with White House physician Dr. Sean Conley, though notably he did not say Conley recommended the drug. Conley said in a White House memo that he and the president decided the potential benefit from treatment outweighed the relative risk. That's not a view shared by other medical experts. Now, the FDA has warned against the use of hydroxychloroquine to treat the coronavirus, saying it should only be used in hospitals or clinical trials because it can kill or cause serious side effects. News of the president's regimen has drawn scrutiny and concern, including from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. You said that Nancy well, had a name for Trump.
Well, Nancy and Chuck Schumer both did. Chuck Schumer called it reckless, reckless, reckless. Nancy Pelosi said that somebody of his age range with his health, and who statistically speaking, he's morbidly obese. I mean, if you look at what the actual like meaning of morbidly, he's 6 foot three, 243 pounds, I believe, is what his last physical showed. He's not in the age demographic or the health demographic of somebody who should be just sort of taking a drug like this just to see what happens. Yeah. I don't personally believe he's taking it, but who knows?
Honestly, though, he might. Like, we just don't know with him.
Yeah.
We just don't know. All right, well, if you're celebrating a birthday, a happy, happy birthday, you're in good company. You're celebrating with YouTube star and dancer JoJo Siwa. She's 17. The soulful Sam Smith also turns 28. And Kim Zolciak-Bierman from Real Housewives turns 42. Now hit us with a vibe of the day, babe.
Someday when you're at peace, you'll be so glad you didn't give up. Don't give up. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't you do it. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, as the world starts to reopening, we have to find what companies should take responsibility and what companies shouldn't have to when it comes to people possibly getting COVID-19. We'll go more in depth with that story coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, Michaela Gordon, as the country starts to slowly reopen, I know you're in Las Vegas right now for your grandmother's funeral. You see some reopening happening there right now. Other states are doing the same. Disneyland has put out a statement saying that they cannot be held responsible for you getting COVID-19 if you do, in fact, decide to come to their Orlando, Disney World Orlando. They're going to be reopening as of tomorrow on Wednesday after the longest closure in their history. But they are taking a lot of precautions. They've listed a whole bunch of things they're doing, safety measures that they are taking. But they do want their patrons to know that coming to Disneyland is completely voluntary. As far as their new procedures go, they have two parking garages open and only two parking garages and four entryways open, as opposed to the countless other garages they have available. Also, people have to get their temperature checked when they come in. Workers will be required to check their own temperature at home and complete a health screening before even going back to work. They've got hand sanitizer, hand washing stations, one-way directional signage all over the park, plexiglass barriers. But making it very clear, trying to protect themselves, I think, from lawsuits, that they cannot be held liable if you do get COVID-19. I think this brings up really interesting conversation.
Yeah, I do too, because I don't want to sound insensitive, but I'm going to be honest with you. Being in Vegas where some of the restrictions have been lifted, they still have that you need to stay 6 feet away and you have to wear your mask. There's sanitizer at the front. It kind of felt, dare I say, like amazing. Like I was like, oh my God, I'm not locked in my house anymore. This has been what now, 60 days, 65 days. And there wasn't that many people in the store. I'm talking about a Walmart, just to be very specific. And it made me feel like it, we sort of do need the reopening because we need to sort of get back on a path of like normal life. And if normal life means we have to wear masks and follow CDC guidelines, I absolutely think so. But I mean, if we don't, everything's done. Nothing can open.
I'm curious then, is there a scenario where Disney World or a large company or a company in general like Disney World, is there a scenario where we could see they could be held accountable for COVID-19, for somebody getting COVID-19 while they're there? They're taking all the precautions, but they're also letting you know this is at your own risk. So here's the two scenarios in my mind. Either we stay shut down forever, we stay shut down for a year or 16 months, however long it takes to get a vaccine, and we try to keep the numbers as low as possible. And for about a month or two, I was all for that. But then you start to see the real life ramifications of those choices to shut down. So then it seems like the only option we have is to open back up to some degree and then all try to be respectful. So what if there's a scenario where, you know, you go to Disneyland and then I'm around you and I get sick? Could Disneyland be held accountable for me getting sick then as a once removed person from you who went there?
Maybe, but then you have to hold everybody and every corporation and every business accountable. And then where does that leave us? Nobody's going to want to reopen because they don't want to be held responsible.
Well, we've been having discussions now about the root of this problem being in China, right? In Wuhan, and our government is looking into where that started and who's actually responsible for this. And I'm just curious, at what point does who's responsible stop mattering? Because at some point, it's a global issue, and who is really responsible? We can't, I don't think, in my opinion, you can start suing companies like Disneyland or Disney World for opening up and people making a choice that is their right as a citizen to make, and then they go and get sick. I don't see Disney at fault for that.
No, and I also don't see, you know, they were trying to say earlier today that Texas, since reopening, has had a higher amount of people coming down with COVID. But they also don't know if that's because there's more tests now to show people testing positive. So it's like we're so stuck in a weird place where more people will be testing positive, but that's also because tests are now available when they were not at all. So we had no idea what we were working with. And I think that people need to be responsible, but it's like if they're going to grocery stores, if they're going around other people, as we start to slowly reopen, I think that by following the CDC guidelines, there has to become a new normal. I don't see this past 2 months. I treated it like, okay, whatever. I think we all did. You saw all the memes, you saw all the fun things, but now truly it is like, okay, we need an answer.
Yeah. I mean, at some point we have to start making decisions based on what we want for our lives to be. And it's no longer, you know, this is a 2 month thing. We can get by for a couple of months. Now we're entering month three as we go into month four or five, six, however long this thing lasts. If we want these companies to survive this pandemic, if we want to have a Disney World or a Disneyland to go to 2 years from now, they've got to make some money. Yeah. They've got to find a way to keep their parks open. If that means they open at 50% capacity right now and take some risks, I think it then falls on those. Because look, you can choose to spend your money and go there or not. And if you're choosing to step through those gates, through those turnstiles, into Disney World and spend a day there with your family, one, you better have your mask on and you better have your hand sanitizer. But two, you better be very like aware of the fact that you're making that choice. That's not Disney's fault.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something. Prices will never be higher. So that might limit the people coming too. I think that we're going to see an even bigger surge in tickets
Or they go deep discount. Who knows what's going to happen? They're trying to get some funds. Who knows?
Ugh. Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, it's almost summertime, but we want to make sure that your pets are staying safe in the heat with all the barbecues and activities. Doc Halligan joins us to help us take care of our pets.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. If you're a fan of the show, you know that every Tuesday we call our very own celebrity veterinarian, Doc Halligan. And Doc is on the line with us right now. Thank you so much for being here. Now, as states start to reopen, and as we head into Memorial Day weekend, we have some questions regarding pets. First and foremost, barbecues. I had a socially distanced barbecue last weekend with a couple of family members. It's the first time I'd seen anybody in 2 months. And there were a couple of dogs there. I may or may not have given a couple table scraps. I tried to keep it pretty clean. But what do we need to be aware of as we get into barbecue season regarding our pets?
Well, unfortunately, even one little table scrap can set a dog off. And it happens every holiday, especially Memorial Day. You know, people don't realize like older female dogs over 7 years of age are predisposed to getting pancreatitis, which can be life-threatening just from one piece of pork or a little piece of cheese or a little piece of this. And it's very unfortunate because people don't realize that. So I always say, you know, have treats, high quality treats for your guests. All right. You can give them to them when they come in and have them give that instead, because they're not going to look at you and go, wait a minute, I didn't get that piece of pork. Mm-hmm. I think I got a treat instead. No. So you really do have to be careful of that.
So no more carne asada from the taco.
No.
Got it. No. My bad.
All right. Now I have a question. We just got to Vegas and it's much hotter in Vegas than it is in LA. So how can I rest assured and our listeners that it's not too hot on the ground when walking our dogs?
Well, you can just do the palm test. So put your palm on the asphalt or the ground and see if you can count to five while your hand's there.
Oh, good.
And if it's too hot for your hand, it's too hot for your pet's feet. Now, they do make stylish booties, Michaela. So
you
could have matching booties.
Listen, I'll make them wear them even if it's not too hot on the ground.
It's so sad. Every summer we see pets and the paws just get burned right off. It's terrible.
Well, how do you know? Like, if say maybe you're on a walk, you haven't done the test, and is there a sort of action like will your pet let you know that hey, this is too hot?
Okay. I mean, they're like, what? You know, they're like jumping jacks with their feet. You can see it. That it's hurting them.
All right. So we'll look out for that as well. Another thing to look out for, you know, I grew up with a swimming pool in my backyard. We grew up though in my family, we had a dog, but we usually had a Labrador retrievers. They're very good swimmers. I think when I was younger, I assumed that all dogs could just swim and they'd be fine, but that's not necessarily the case. What do we need to know about having pets, dogs or cats near a pool?
Well, dogs and cats need to be shown how to get out of the pool. That's very important that you put them in the pool and then you need to show them where the stairs are because they can drown in a really quick time there. So that's real important.
Well, what if you want to introduce your dog? What if you just got a dog, they've never been in a pool. How do you introduce your dog or cat to the water without also kind of like traumatizing them?
Well, you go in with them or have them go in with another animal is the best way.
Okay.
Because then they look, you know, this is something that everyone's doing. Instead of, don't just throw them in the pool, you know.
So if maybe if you have an older pet who is more comfortable in the water,
yes.
Or maybe you have a neighbor who has a pet that's very comfortable with water, maybe invite them over for a little.
There's also the swimming vests. If you have an arthritic dog that's older, they have the little life vests. They're adorable.
Oh,
they make
so
all
cute.
Sizes. And then they can't, you know, they can't drown. So
that's really great. Fantastic.
Well, you know, just a personal question. I think before I got my dog Rocco, he was punished with the spray bottle or with water. So does that sometimes make them not want to get into the pool? And can I eventually ease him in without completely freaking him out?
Yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, like I said, you know, put the life vest on him. go in the pool with him for a few minutes, make it a positive experience, take him out, let him shake, give him a cookie. You know, some dogs take to it faster than others, but all dogs can learn to swim. We use swimming for physical therapy. So if you have access to a pool, it's great.
Much like humans. So what I've learned today is don't give table scraps, no carne asada for my cousin's dog. Got it. Check the pavement with my palm. If I can keep it there for 5 seconds or more, it's safe for animals to walk on. Also, if you need to introduce a pet to water, maybe use an older pet, get in the water with them, or a neighbor pet who's more comfortable with water. I'm curious to know, Doc Halligan, you're such an animal lover and you have pets of your own. What do you look forward to most? I know we're in Southern California. It's always kind of summer, but what do you look forward to most when it comes to like having a pet and getting outdoors in the summertime?
Well, I just think it's fun to take them hiking. I love to hike with a pet, right? Yeah. There's nothing better.
Yeah.
Because they just enjoy it so much. And it really, so I'm looking forward to that. One other tip though, make sure they have flea and tick prevention on, because there's a lot of fleas and ticks right now. That all the, you know, eggs, the flea eggs can live for a year and then just hatch.
Wow.
So at the end of the world, it'll be cockroaches and fleas, you know. So
it's true. And murder hornets.
Yeah. Well, we could be there. We could be there sooner than expected. Who knows how things are going. But thank you so much, Doc.
Love you, Doc Halligan. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Memorial Day. Okay.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up in What's Poppin', there's a new Fierce show hitting HBO. And honestly, I hate American Idol. I want to be on this show. Legendary. We're talking about it coming up next.
You are listening to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with Michaela and I. We really do appreciate you. I want to remind you that you can download our show as a podcast every day after we go off the air by downloading the radio.com app and taking us with you on your mobile device. You can share us with your friends and family. You can listen to us 7 days a week. Why not? We're fun.
Michaela Gordon,
you're pretty fun.
Thank you.
What's going on in the world of pop culture? What's popping?
Ugh, you guys, this has me gagging because I feel like I have always wanted to be a part of like the Vogue ball scene. I'm obsessed with drag queens. I'm just obsessed with all of that. Nightlife Paris is Burning was like one of my favorite movies ever. So good. So there's a new show. It's a ballroom competition reality show. It's arriving on HBO Max. It has Meg Thee Stallion, Jameela Jamil. They'll serve as judges, and it looks incredible. The trailer just come out, so let's take a listen to some of the trailer from Legendary.
The most celebrated houses of history.
8 houses, 9 balls, $100,000 grand prize.
Now they must battle until one remains.
And the best house wins. Bitch.
Okay, if that does not sound like a Kiki in a competition that I wish I would have been a part of, American Idol, who? I want to go on Legendary.
Kudos to HBO Max, too. They just launched We're Here not too long ago. Drag queens going into small towns, helping people out. Now they've got Legendary. I mean, well done.
Yeah, super well done. So it's coming out Wednesday, May 27th. And if you haven't had the chance to see the trailer, I would suggest that you check it out. The production, to be honest,
so
also
much
looks
money.
Amazing.
Honey, that's not what the ballrooms looked like from what I've seen.
No,
this is glamour. Glamour.
Glamour.
I've always sort of known about the ballroom scene sort of as like this, like tales of days gone by sort of thing, right? This other subculture within our community is how I've kind of known about it in the past. And then, of course, the documentary you mentioned, and then also Pose. Once Pose came out, my boyfriend and I became obsessed with everything ballroom. And it's so great to see now we're going into like a reality competition where actual houses will be competing against each other on a major, major network. That's so great.
I want to ask you, watching Paris is Burning and then, of course, probably watching on Wednesday this
what
show.
What my house name would be? That's what you want to ask me?
What? Okay. Yes.
So
what
obviously, it would be the House of Gigantor or something because I'm like 6'5" and a half.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So you and Emil.
We would all be just really, really tall. Or House of Amazonian or something like that. Something really tall. But what did you actually really want to ask me? I feel like I might have interrupted you.
No, I love your house names. I did want to know. But also, if the people from Paris is Burning would know so many years ago in the 90s that what they were getting in trouble for and had to hide would one day become this reality show with
celebrated
production that's incredible. It actually just gave me goosebumps.
With Meg Thee Stallion and Jamila Jamil, like celebrities, like on HBO.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and people would be wanting it, craving it, needing it. Girl, it would be celebrated.
Here's the thing about legacy. Oftentimes, and this is a word that as I've approached 40, you know, I'm turning 40 this summer, I've thought about this word a lot more often recently. And oftentimes we chase our legacy, but we might never live to see our legacy. This show, Legendary and Post, totally, is the legacy of those, you know, men and women, the members of our community from the 80s and the 90s who built that scene and survived together and created families together. This is their legacy. And I think it's so beautiful.
I think it's so beautiful too. I just think it's so great. Maybe they'll have more celebrities. Maybe like Michelle Visage will make an appearance. Who knows? Because she was a big Vogue queen. But I am just so excited for our community. I cannot wait to watch it. Make sure you watch Legendary on Wednesday. It's incredible. All right, well, coming up in our next hour, I am so excited. I love an hour from Romy and Michelle, but Mira Sorvino joins us to talk about her iconic role on Ryan Murphy's Hollywood.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Do we have an hour coming up for you? Get excited. 20 minutes from right now, we're joined by Academy Award winner Mira Sorvino. She's Hollywood royalty. She's actually in the new show called Hollywood by our very own Ryan Murphy. We love and adore him. He is a great, great, you know, very successful member of our community. He's doing so much good for television right now. And he's got this new overall deal with Netflix. The show Hollywood comes out, 7 episodes. She's in it. She's phenomenal. She's joining us in 20 Amazing. Minutes to talk all about it. We're also probably going to ask her about Romy Michelle's high school reunion. Will there be another reunion? I mean, can there be a 40-year reunion or a 30-year reunion? Please. I don't even know where they are anymore. Definitely not 40. She's not that old yet. Maybe a 20-year reunion.
Yeah, 25.
Why not? We're going to ask her all the questions you want to know and dig into what it's like to work with Ryan Murphy on the set of Hollywood on Netflix. Then we're going to wrap up our hour with Life Goes On. We've got 3 inspiring stories to send you off into your day with some love in your heart and a little bit of hope as well. Michaela Gordon, yes. Before we do all of that, though, let's do some news on the beat.
You got it. All right, you guys. Well, health agencies, they're recording more symptoms and risks brought on by COVID-19. A new review of studies reveals delirium, confusion, and agitation may be common in severe coronavirus infections while patients are hospitalized, though it's unclear if these psychological symptoms extend further into recovery. Now, in the UK, the loss of taste or smell has been added to the official list of coronavirus symptoms. The condition is called anosmia, and its connection to the virus has been known among medical communities for months. Now, finally, another study has shown enlargement of one of the heart's 4 chambers, the right ventricle, was the best predictor of which patients with severe COVID-19 infections were most likely to die. Now, it does sound dire, but knowing this can help doctors better determine which new patients are most at risk. Now, if you are a senior, do not miss this opportunity. Class of 2020, Krispy Kreme is offering a free box of a dozen donuts to high school and college seniors. The offer is only available today. Now, to claim the treats, high school or college seniors need to head to a Krispy Kreme store wearing their cap and gown with a 2020 tassel. If you don't have a cap and gown, they have the option to wear class of 2020 apparel. Students can also bring their 2020 student ID showing senior status or their graduation announcement and matching ID. You know what? This is really cute. I hope that a lot more companies do this for the seniors because it's a nice reminder that we're still taking care of them. We know they didn't get to have the huge parties that they deserved. And seniors love like donuts and pizzas. Well,
my true hope is that these young people understand the power of the hot sign. I hope they go to Krispy Kreme when the hot sign is on. Because I will tell you, girl, you watch those donuts made, then you eat a dozen of those things. I'm not saying all dozen of them. I probably could. But as soon as they come out, the hot sign is on, they melt in your mouth. They are heaven.
I have to tell you, speaking of childhood memories, like we were earlier in the show, my papa used to take me on adventures all the time. And so he said, come on, get in the truck. And I was only about 7. We drove for what felt like 40 minutes.
And it was the very first Krispy Kreme that they ever opened in Vegas. And we went into the donut shop and we ordered donuts and we got into his car. It was so hot in Vegas. I ate the donuts. And then he always had a mutt peen, like a rag, under his seats. And it was so dirty. It was the same one that he would like do his oil with.
Of course.
And I wiped my hands off. That's what I wiped the Krispy Kreme donuts off with. But it's one of my favorite memories. And it's made me love Krispy Kreme ever since. So go get that sweet hot dozen.
Yes.
Sounds delicious. All right. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in good company. You're celebrating with DJ Marshmello, 28 years old. Singer Grace Jones celebrates her 72nd birthday. And the soulful Sam Smith turns 28 years young. Now hit us with the vibe of the day.
Someday when you're at peace, you'll be so glad you didn't give up.
I really love that. I think that's really special. And it's a good reminder so that you can keep your peace. Now, coming up, I am so excited. I've loved her from Romy and Michelle, but people are getting reintroduced to the Italian queen herself thanks to Ryan Murphy's Hollywood. Mira Sorvino joins us next to talk about this iconic role.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We're so excited about this next guest. I interviewed her a few years ago, and so it's been a while, but she just popped up on a show that I'm currently obsessed with, Hollywood by Ryan Murphy on Netflix. We're talking about Academy Award winner Mira Sorvino on the show right now. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm good. How are you?
We're fantastic. Just first of all, I have to ask, does Academy Award winner, does that ever get old? Do you ever get tired of hearing that?
It's always very sweet. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I'm curious to know how your role on Hollywood came about. Ryan Murphy, it sort of seems like everything he touches turns to gold. You play Jean Crandall. She's a very, her character brings so much heart to this show. How did you guys get in touch and how did this role come together?
I met Ryan a few years ago at a party, and I was very surprised to learn that he knew a lot of my filmography, and I was very flattered that he had actually, you know, had that knowledge or took an interest. And he told my agent, I'm going to find something for us to work on together. And then we didn't hear from him for a couple of years. And, you know, I was hoping it came true at some point, but didn't really know. And then I got a call from my managers saying that there's a role on Hollywood, this new show about old Hollywood, that's kind of like a Lana Turner-ish sort of part. And I had some photos of myself as Lana Turner from an old photo shoot.
Wow.
We sent them in. I really don't know if they took a look at them, or if then they just decided, you know, he decided the time was right and this is the right role and the right person. And they offered me the part. I took it sight unseen. I was like, amazing.
That's amazing.
You know, we didn't see any of the scripts. I didn't see any of the scripts before I said yes.
And
I would get them as we did them. So I learned what she was going to do as the audience does, kind of.
Wow. That's a great lesson too on patience and just letting the universe do its thing. You met years ago and the part finally came that was right for you. And the world really is obsessed with this show. This show reimagines some pretty iconic characters, Rock Hudson, as well as some pretty timely social issues. How influential do you think Hollywood truly is?
You mean Hollywood the place or Hollywood the show?
Either.
Both.
as an institution, the entertainment industry, you know, it projects ideas and lifestyles and human beings to the world. So clearly it is important. I think now that social media exists, I'm not sure if it has the same primacy it did back in the 40s, because in the 40s, that's all people could have access to in terms of content was movies and television, and that's all there was. Now, anyone can generate content from their living room, you know, so it's been democratized in a way, but I still think that important stuff coming out of Hollywood, the place, the industry, does have an influence on what we think about, what we talk about, even if it's short-lived. And so that's why I think this show is super important, because Hollywood the Show on Netflix does, you know, it tackles all these societal ills that had they been tackled back then when, as we said, that Hollywood was the only source. I mean, there was the circus, there was theater, there was vaudeville. But in terms of mass distribution of content where people would imbibe it and then think about it, and maybe pattern their lives after it to some extent, You know, imagine if in the 40s people had made the decision to go against the Hays Code and talk openly about the way people live and about who they really are and who they should be allowed to be. If everybody was representational, like the fact that Anna May Wong loses the part in The Good Earth to a German woman, I believe. And, you know, it's crazy because it's this really classical story about ancient China and the fact that they wouldn't give it to this authentically Chinese person because they were afraid that she couldn't be acceptable to a white audience, or the fact that LGBTQ people had to be closeted and not even live their life at all. Like the Dick Samuels character, he goes without accepting himself to himself for most of his life. And I think that, you know, we see women represented as not having an expiration date, having value and validity past what, you know, the number crunchers might say, oh, well, that person can't be in a picture, let alone carry a picture, because they're over, I think in those days it was like 35.
Yeah, no, well, we see that with your character, which I think is so fascinating, which is why I was rooting for your character so much. We also see Patti LuPone's character, Avis Amberg. I want to talk to you about this a bit because she is a force of nature, obviously in the LGBTQ community. We've been obsessed with her for decades. But how important do you think female leadership is, not just in Hollywood and in those scenarios, but do you see that carrying over into politics and what we're kind of going on globally right now? We're seeing nations where women are in charge handling the coronavirus a little bit differently than when men are in charge. How important is it that we have strong female leaders?
Well, I think that one of the wonderful things that this show does is show how women together can make decisions that are different from the status quo and kind and generous. And the sort of duo of Holland Taylor and Patti LuPone's characters, when they, for instance, decide to give me this role, which, you know, takes me out of this box of, you know, blonde, you know, fading starlet to playing a really great, strong person, a great character role.
And girl, when you cried, when you realized that moment that in the cafeteria, that was one of my favorite moments of the entire series, just so you know. It's so good.
That was my favorite scene of my own. Like, I have many favorites of other people, but for me, oh, there's that ding again. That was super moving for me and beautiful. And I love that there's sort of this curious admixture. There's a little bit of humor in there and I'm so odd. You know, I jump up and I try to kill myself basically. And they're so generous and they're so beneficent. And this idea of the hand up from sisters, honestly, it sort of reminded me of what has gone on in the positive way with the Me Too movement and Time's Up and just this sisterhood where you feel like there is strength in solidarity and love and choosing the human choice rather than, you know, the way things have always been. And I think that, you know, women have the courage to break the rules once they are in a leadership position. And perhaps, you know, instead of being competitive, I mean, I know all women can be just as competitive as men, but to make a choice that is not just competition and kill your colleagues, it's like, let's bring us all up together. Everybody benefits when we all rise together. And that's sort of the message of the show. And I think that can be the message to the world, a world of less violence, more cooperation, more building, less tearing down, less corporate interests over human interests. You know, I mean, I like to think that. Of course, there are women who, you know, are just as staunchly opposed to those things that I care about as men. But I do think allowing women at the table in an equally representative way is tremendously important for the future of our world.
I think that's amazing that you said that. I feel the same way. I love being a woman. I love supporting women. During the Me Too, I feel like we've found so much strength, of course. I want to talk about, we did talk about Holland Taylor and this amazing cast, but there are so many veteran actors, but new fresh faces as well. Do you think that there could be a reunion at all or a follow-up?
You know, I don't know, and I don't want to speak for Ryan Murphy Productions or Netflix, but we sure would love it. I mean, I would love it. I'd love to come back as Gene or someone else. I know that Ryan, you know, sometimes does these kind of anthology series where then maybe it would not be the same characters. Maybe it would not be the same era. I don't know, but I'm down for any of it. Like, it was such a great working experience. It was so positive. The crew, the artisans, like the hair, makeup, costume department heads, everyone that was working on it, the ADs, like the sound people, the camera people, they were all incredible. The first ADs like were wonderful. They were so, so happy to be there and intelligent and kind. And the directors were all incredible. Janet Mock was incredible.
Mm,
I was not in the first episode, so I was not directed directly by Ryan, which I can't wait until that actually happens. But Janet was amazing. Michael Uppendale was amazing. Dan Minahan was amazing. Janet really encouraged me to improvise in the more comedic scenes. And you know, you never really know if that's welcome. And I feel like I'm funnier when I get to sort of just let my craziness out in spur of the moment little blips. And she came up to me and she's like, keep doing what you're doing. We're just in stitches behind the monitor. So, keep going. So I was like, okay. And a lot of it ended up in the cut. So I was very happy.
I love that.
Such a positive experience. It also sounds like Hollywood, the show, had a much larger budget than Meg, the movie did. So kudos to that. Also, if we know anything about Ryan Murphy, once you're in, you're in. And you're so great in this. And I hope you have a starring role in another project or another anthology. I know Michaela's kind of curious, and I kind of want to ask for her right now. Michaela's also Italian. She's in love with your
father. Hey, Paisan.
She's in love with your father. I'm kind of curious to know, like, what sort of role your father played in your life, you know, raising you as a strong woman in an industry that he knew so intimately. Because we see the character, Patti LuPone and her husband in this, they run Ace Studios, and they don't want their daughter to come up in Hollywood. What was your father like growing up, having such a close relationship to Hollywood? Did he kind of try to steer you towards or away from a life as an actress?
Away. He did not want me to be an actor. He did not want any of us children, the three of us kids, to become actors. He thought if there was anything else, he said if there was anything else that we wanted to do equally, we should do that instead of acting, because acting should be a singular obsession, and it was a really hard business, and there was so much rejection and uncertainty in it. And he wanted us to have more stable, like kind of consistently kind of happy lives. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, I came to him and I said, you know, Dad, I really feel like acting is what I am meant to do. It's really what I want to do. And he said, well, then you have my blessing.
But I love that.
Encouraged me. Yeah.
That's amazing. Ugh.
Yeah, but he taught me. So sort of, he taught me from the time I was eight how to act. So I was in school plays from the time I was eight, and he would teach. He taught me how to cry. He would have me go up to the middle of the staircase, sit there, think about something that made me very sad until I came down in tears, and then could do the part of the scene that had the tears. And he said, you have to prepare those moments like a birthday cake. You've got to work on the preparation of them so that by the time you hit that part, just as if you were playing a piece of music, when you hit that moment in it, it's already mastered. So you're going to get to it, and then it's going to happen to you, and you're not going to have to make yourself cry in the middle of the scene. You're going to hit that moment, and it's going to knock you flat, and you're going to cry. I don't know if I would have had the same repeatability and emotional fluency that I have right now had I not had that really early tutelage from him. And other kids in high school, he'd come to my school plays, and then other kids' parents would be like, oh, honey, that was terrific. You know, oh, you were wonderful. And he'd say, that was great, honey. I really liked it. I just had two notes. And he would sit me down backstage at the school in the dressing room in front of, you know, the little makeup table. And we'd sit there for 2 hours, and he would break down the performance. And correct all my mistakes. And as much as I might have like been happier in the moment just to hear how great I was in the puff, he actually really taught me so much from those moments, you know, saying things like, okay, when you go like this and then you say your line, you are killing your first instinct. You are becoming intellectual. You are not letting it out. And you are thinking and changing what would have been your natural response and putting a thought onto it. Remember what Sanford Meisner always said, a thinking actor is a stinking actor.
I love that. Referencing well, listen, Meisner.
You're an incredible actress, and your father is too. We love him. Now, before we let you go, I have to tell you that I became a comedian because of this movie. It was the funniest movie to me. Romy and Michelle, we're dying to know, will that make a comeback, a reunion? Can we have a second post-its, anything?
I think I sure hope so, you know, but we've talked about doing it for many years and for some reason it hasn't happened and it's not in our power to greenlight it. Mm. So I think the more the public keeps clamoring for it, and I feel like every day there's more, like every time, you know, I was curious. And so on Instagram, I did like a hashtag Romy and Michelle follow, you know, like you can follow hashtags.
Yeah.
Every day I have multiple entries that are based on Romy and Michelle, which is a movie that came out over 20 years ago.
Oh, so, yeah.
So it's like, okay, there is still this public appetite for it and this beloved quality of it, you know? And so, you know, people, you know, this very nice guy just sent me two little, they sent me like magnets, emoji magnets. of Romy and Michelle. You know, Funko just came out with our figures finally, and that's the first time I've ever had a doll pattern after myself.
Oh, wow, I love that.
Well, no, Mira, I know a few years ago, I don't know if you remember, you were on a show called Hollywood Today Live on Fox, yeah, which I was hosting at the time, and we talked about exactly this. And it's wild to me that 4 or 5 years later, with all these reboots and all these sequels that are coming back in this sort of nostalgic era we're in right now, it feels like the perfect time for Romy and Michelle. Do you keep in touch with Lisa Kudrow at all? Have you guys talked about this?
Yes, we have. And I actually, you know, maybe now with the Disney Plus and everything, maybe they would want to revisit it because it is a Disney property. So, you know, it would be great content. I think everybody could show up.
Well, we did a story. I think we did a story last week how Disney Plus is releasing Hamilton 15 months early because they're already running out of content. That was supposed to be a box office release. And so maybe they need content right
Let's
now.
Let's do Romy and Michelle in quarantine. Just do it virtually.
Every day we have to show up like,
yeah,
at home, we're putting together our best Romy and Michelle looks, you know.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know, she's there chain smoking still.
Crazier things have happened. I'm just saying. But hey, you're so fantastic.
Thank you so much
for
Mira,
giving us this time.
Thank you. This is really fun. I thank you guys for your interest in it. And I'm glad you liked Hollywood so much.
Awesome.
Everybody does. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Stay safe, your whole family. And we hope to talk to you soon when we're all out of quarantine.
Yeah. If you haven't yet, binge watch Hollywood. It's so fantastic. 7 episodes. It's a quick binge. So worth it.
Yes. Thank you, Mira.
All right. Bye. Thanks.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. As always, we want to send you off into your day with a segment we call Life Goes On. We know there's so much scary stuff happening in the world right now and always, to be honest, but we like to focus on the good. So here is your first inspirational story to send you off into your day with some hope and some love in your heart. Now, many high school and college graduates aren't getting the commencement ceremonies that they had hoped for, that they'd worked their entire careers for. But one dad decided to build a stage in his driveway to give his daughter the proper college graduations that she's not getting right now. We're talking about Gabrielle Pierce. Now, her dad took this to a whole different level. Not only did he have a sign in the front yard, this took place down in Memphis, Tennessee. She's actually a graduate of Xavier University of Louisiana. He built a full stage. There's a podium. There's a pipe and drape backdrop with their school colors.
Sweet.
Says, congratulations, graduate, across the front of the stage. There are even two chairs in the driveway for the two guests that get to go to her actual commencement. He even printed out a program. How cool is this? With a procession, the invocation schedule, the national anthem, and then
so
a welcome.
Sweet.
The national anthem sung by Whitney Houston, as it says here on this program, by the way. I just think it's really sweet. She just really appreciates the dad, you know, put all of his effort into this. He says, we love our daughter this much, regardless of the dollar figure, what it took to pull this off. If I had to do it all over again, I'd probably do it even bigger. Now, yes. Gabrielle graduates with a degree in public health science for epidemiology, and plans to join the armed forces to someday work for the CDC. So how cool is that?
I love it. All right, well, here's another super dad. So a formerly incarcerated dad creates an app with his teen daughter to connect prisoners with their kids. So the story goes that Gianna Patton's father, Antoine Patton, went to prison for gun possession when she was 3 years old, and her mother was left to raise two children on her own and really didn't have the time or the money to coordinate visits between the father and the daughter. And they would send letters, and it would take a long time to get back and forth. And it was just very heartbreaking. And he remembered thinking, this could be so much better. There's 5.1 million children in the U.S. who are currently separated from an incarcerated parent. And often families are separated across great distances. I mean, from one state all the way to another. So thanks to JJ and her dad, there's an app for that. It's called PhotoPatch. And JJ coded it herself. And you can download it, and it's a way for you to connect through the computer to be with your parent or your child so that you don't have to wait between sending letters or if you can't visit. I think that's amazing.
I love it. And also, who knows how to code? Well done. That's impressive. All right, well, let's keep this dad train rolling. How about another story about great dads? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go three for three. This time we're talking about two dads. They're named Chad and Paul. Now they've adopted a 17-year-old young man by the name of Michael over Zoom, proving the age old adage, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. Well, apparently where there's a Zoom, there's a way. They did this thing over Zoom during quarantine. We're talking about Chad and Paul Bean Blossom. Now they had also, they'd fostered this young man after his mother died. Over the span of about 5 years, the teen had been placed in 9 different homes in 5 years. At one point, he even ran away from one family. But when he met the Bean Blossoms, things changed. They said he just kind of came in and took over our hearts. He's taught us just as much, if not more, than we have him. Our whole world revolves around Michael. And at Michael's request, actually, the family decided to go ahead and adopt him.
So I just think love that's such, that!
There's still hope. Like, 17 years old. And they still found a home for him. I think it's so beautiful.
That's so beautiful. All right, you guys. Well, of course, we have a great show for you the rest of this week. Tamar Braxton is joining us Friday. But tomorrow, as always, we'll be talking with Samuel Garrett Pate to really break down all things happening in politics. I feel like every time you look up, there's just something new happening. So we'll have that all for you. Take care of yourselves. Have a great rest of your day. And we'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.